We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome on in. Sports Radio 94 WIP. It's the afternoon show. No Ike, Spike, and Fritz today. It's Broads hanging out with you, and Marcus Hayes is by my side. What's up, Marcus?
Not too much. How you feeling?
Oh, I've been fantastic. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. I smelled the clam chowder that you were mucking before the show, and I was so jealous. I'm going to have to get myself one of those.
Well, if you're a gourmand like me, and you travel a lot, you go to a lot of restaurants, there's three things I always like to try that if I haven't had them before. It's the clam chowder.
Okay.
Eggs Benedict.
Okay.
And corned beef hash if it's homemade.
Okay.
So those are my three sort of litmus tests. If a place carries them, I'll try them. And so when I got here about an hour ago, I said, you know what? I haven't had lunch. Let me try this clam chowder. It was very good. Good job, Pete. I know Pete. Good job, Pete.
Yeah, it smelled amazing. I'm going to be getting one. Lots of TVs, lots of sports, lots of action. It's a beautiful place to be. Now, we got to talk a lot about the Phils, a lot about the Eagles as we embrace the season beginning in about a week. And the Phils, well, it's always up and down with them. Let's set the scene, Marcus, all right, because they were embarrassed in Citi Field. And then you come home, you have Kyle Schwarber rocking four home runs in one day, which is outrageous, right? I saw Buzz, who's producing today, we'll get his thoughts in a second, but he tweeted out last night that that's more rare than a perfect game. Think about how crazy that is, and we witnessed it. So it's just so extreme that we see them fail and flop against the Mets, then respond in such an epic way, and I am so emotionally damaged from this team that yesterday didn't move me at all.
Emotionally damaged.
I'm emotionally damaged, Marcus, so we need to have a long 4 hours together so you can convince me that I shouldn't be as damaged as I am.
So what was the worst part of the Mets series for you?
Whew, that's a great question. We can be here all day. I mean, just the fact that...
I'll tell you what it was. You don't realize it, but I'll tell you what
it was. Okay, go ahead. Tell me.
It was Jordan Romano.
Huh. Go ahead. Expand.
He made the game unreachable, and he reminded you that he's still here and he's going to be a player going down the stretch. Now, as it turns out, he's on the IL with a finger injury that cropped up out of nowhere. But I will guarantee you, in the moment, the worst you felt was when Jordan Romano blew up in relief and the game was blown open. In what was it? Game one, right?
That was one of the ones that made me feel terrible. Yeah, just the fact that 6-0 to finish the series, 13-3 to start the series, and they knew how big of a moment that was. But then yesterday happened, and then it reminded you that when they get hot, they are one of the most lethal offenses. And if you get a start from Aaron Nolan, I know the first inning was rough, but if you can get six out of your starter and only allow a couple earned runs, if you're going to hit nukes left and right, then maybe you can do some serious damage. So it's just one extreme compared to the other extreme, which plays with my emotions so much. So I want to believe, trust me, every day I wake up going, I want to think that they can do something.
Well, what's something? What's doing
win.
Something?
Win. I want to win a championship.
Okay, so that is the problem. In Philadelphia, everything is seen in the context of building toward that year's championship or dominance down the road. The joy of sports, the only thing assured in sports is today. As we know, with Zach Wheeler being not only on the IL, but maybe out of baseball for the next 8 months. So my contention has always been, unless you're rebuilding, actively rebuilding, as we've seen the Eagles do, as we've seen the Sixers do for 11 straight years now, as we're in the middle of one with the Flyers, unless you're actively rebuilding, your responsibility as a GM, president, owner, is to make sure the team is relevant to entertain the fans. The fans that only want championships, you cannot entertain because there's only one satisfaction for them, so they can't enjoy the moment. So as I've counseled you before, Broads, enjoy the moment.
I'm trying.
You're talking about the Mets series in the first 10 minutes of a show the day after Kyle Schwarber almost broke the single-game Major League home run record.
Uh-huh.
That's an illness.
It is. Oh, no doubt about it. I'm not hiding from that. I openly accept the fact that that's an illness. But you know what? I put out a Twitter poll, and our Twitter poll is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Experience the Mark's Jewelers difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville, PA, and Mount Laurel, New Jersey, or online at marks-jewelers.com. And this is what our Twitter poll reads. So I asked the people about an hour ago, did Schwarber's four-home run night move you, or are you too damaged from the Mets? And it's 51-49.
I'm surprised.
It's almost split.
Well, who's 51?
Too damaged. So smart people in town.
I'm surprised 49 made what the 49% are in there.
I agree. I kind of agree with you that that does seem like an overwhelming amount.
That's incredible optimism for Philadelphia.
It is. And you know what? At 215-592-9494, you could jump in and talk to us how you're feeling. And I don't like that this is how I feel. Because to your point, we have watched before this core just garbage baseball, right? Michael Franco's, Odubel Herrera, Cesar Hernandez,
Dominic,
Gabe Kapler.
Dominic Brown,
Jake Arrieta, Carlos Santana smashing TV screens. I mean, the list goes on and on. But then I watch them seven games up, go on the road against that team, and just lay down and crumble. And those three games wear me down so much that I feel defeated. And I could be wrong to feel that way, and I want to be wrong, but there's just something about that, I hate to be so cliche, but that it factor with the team where they smell like they could be championship caliber. And we saw it with the Eagles. I think the Eagles are maybe not messing with my judgment, but because I know what it feels like now, when I see the Phillies, they don't feel the same way that some of these Eagles teams did when they went on that championship run.
So Philadelphia has won four championships since 2008, right?
Yes.
Okay. Is that right?
Three. To the Super Bowl that they
zero
did not
of those teams gave you that feeling during the season. None of them.
You don't think last year's Eagles team did?
Absolutely not.
I felt that way. They were rocking and rolling.
You felt that way during the bye week?
No. Not at 2-2. But once they started grooving and you started seeing Saquon and you realized something was special about the group.
So it wasn't all season. So when one player just has a great year and they get a big lead in their division or conference, that's when you feel good about it?
I thought that their style of play with the offensive line, the defensive line, DeGene, Quinion, I think they started rough, and then they blossomed into it, and I watched it over time grow into what I feel could win.
Well, I will argue that you're in the same situation with the Phillies. They have a big lead in a good division with a superstar MVP candidate that is, you know, that is producing at a high level and good in several areas, and they've added a closer, and they have some of the best starting pitching in baseball independent of Zach Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
So again,
you're not wrong, but that's why that Mets series was so big. Because as bad as I feel now, that was the building off moment to really separate yourself and set the tone more. Where if they walked out of Queens with 2 out of 3, then it would be the 180 of how I feel now, and I'd be the obnoxious you-know-what saying, here we go, baby, we can make this happen. But it was such a deflating series that, like, that's the building block I was looking for to put me over the edge of, hey, there's something special. To fall and collapse like that, how can I believe there's something special when you went up to Queens and did that?
Because you have 120
–
well, I should say you have 110 games to refute that, because there have been those 10 games against the Mets that support your argument.
Yeah, I know it. And honestly,
and they might not face them.
I know. That's what makes this thing so uncomfortable for me. Is I was reaching out to a couple of my buddies as they were complaining about what was happening over the last three games prior to the Braves series, and it was all we have to do is avoid the Mets, and I believe that's true, right? Like, I'm not afraid of. I'm not saying these teams are good, but I'm just saying I fear the Mets, which makes me sick to my stomach. I don't fear the Brewers the same way. Now, you might lose to the Brewers, but I don't fear them the same way. But then I go, if I'm afraid of the Mets, oh, God, that's disgusting. You know? Like, that's just disgusting. You're telling me that Mets team is making me shake in my boots? That doesn't make me feel good. That diminishes what I think your greatness can be, and I could be wrong with that. But I'm just letting you know how I feel. So 215-592-9494. I'm trying to figure out the balance here of the fan base, right? Because yesterday was a special moment. It was rare. It was really ridiculous. And I did have fun watching Kyle Schwarber have a chance for five against a positional
right.
player. And even Bader for a cycle. I'm thinking, hey, let's see if we could do something really cool here. So in the moment watching the game last night, there was maybe 4, 5, 6 minutes of a smile. But then once the game ended, it went back to reality. Now, Buzz, I want to ask you, and again, we can get to the phones at 215-592-9494. You're very optimistic with this team, or at least more optimistic than me. Talk to me. I need help. I'm breaking down in every way possible.
Yeah, I think you just need to enjoy the season more. You know, I've produced you a number of times, and we're going to get the chance to host here in a couple of weeks as well. And every time I hear you talk about them, you're so focused on the negative. It's like you need therapy for this significant other you have where you love 50% of them, but you're focused on the negative half, and yet everything's glass half empty. And I look at it, and I think you got narrow blinders, which is understandable, to just what the Phillies are doing. I'm not going to sit here and just explain. I think people lose nuance and lose perspective when they say, well, just look at the standings. They're 20 games above 500. They're 5 games up in first place. Because we've seen teams have good records in the city before, and that didn't tell the whole story. The 2023 Eagles, they were a good team, but a lot of people did not believe in them, and they were ultimately proved correct based upon how they played down the stretch. But I think this Phillies team in particular is a mixed bag. I think most teams in baseball this season, I don't think there is a clear-cut, like, dominant team. The Dodgers, who came in with much greater expectations than the Phillies did this season, have been a really huge mixed bag. They blew a huge lead in the division, squandered it to the Padres, and now they're just slightly back up. I think we're looking at a team that when all the dust settles of 162, and a 162-game baseball season is not for the faint of heart. It is not for the impatient. It is not for the overreactionary to negative people. I think we're going to have a division title. I think there's a very good chance, maybe 50-50, that they have a first-round bye. And I think we're looking at a team that plays significantly better at home and has one of the two or three best chances to win a World Series this year? Marcus is right. There's no way that you're going to be satisfied like in August or in September. We only know if they win a championship at the end.
But if they beat, honestly, it really comes down to that, Mets. Because if they did the same thing but beat the Mets, then I'm satisfied. So I needed something better than that. That scarred me. Like, that really did something to me that. And I know it's regular season baseball, so when I say this, I'm obviously over-exaggerating. But when I walked out of that NLCS against the Diamondbacks, and last year in the NLDS against the Mets, there was this feeling of discomfort that hit so hard. And it almost related in a regular season sense to how I felt leaving Queens. And maybe, again, I could just be an obnoxious you-know-what, but I can't shake how I feel. I wish I had your guys' mindset. It seems way more fun.
It is. It's a lot.
It is.
I mean, I'm going to go down there tonight. I will say this. Like, this edition of the Phillies, because I'm a columnist at the Inquirer, and I have a lot of latitude in the things I cover. And baseball is usually the worst thing to cover. It's usually, you know, it's a grind. Guys get, you know, rammy. They're baseball players. They're sort of mercenary. They're very much out for themselves in each at bat or each appearance. This is a pleasant place to be as a reporter, and I think the fans have connected with them, and I think they understand the fans. So I actually enjoy going to the ballpark because of the personalities that are there. And there's something to be said for that. I mean, and that's the part I think that you don't get. Like, I don't think you are connected to these guys who there has not been a more likable team in my 30 years in Philadelphia. And it's really not close. Like, there's, think about it. Like,
yeah, because I don't feel that. You're right.
Right.
I don't feel that.
But like the Eagles of 2017 were largely a mercenary band, especially like at running back. And, you know, it was just, they weren't, you have scar tissue and history and a familiarity and success with these guys, and you don't feel that connection. You're not the only one. There are a lot of people who are just like, all right, fine, show me. The 2007 Phillies got the 2008 Phillies liked. And then people sort of liked the idea of the Phillies. But back then it was a party at Citizens Bank Park. They wanted to see Ryan Howard hit home runs. Chase Sutley was cute. Charlie Manuel was funny. And then you had, you know, Cliff Lee and, Cliff Lee, Cole Hamels, and Roy Halladay, right? So it wasn't really a connection. It was kind of like, look at the jewels we have. Mm-hmm. This is a likable bunch of guys who've endured a lot of stuff from Philadelphia and Philadelphia fans, and produced to a large degree. Produced ultimately, no, but they've been pretty good. The manager is incredibly likable.
I like
and
Rob.
Pretty good.
I
He's
like
pretty
Rob.
Good manager.
Mm-hmm.
The coaching staff is accessible and you feel like you're in touch with them. And I'm not just talking about as a sports writer. If there's an issue, the hitting coach, the pitching coach, whoever, the bench coach, the infield coach, the outfield coach, will talk to you about it, be honest about the players. The connection that doesn't exist for me is remarkable, and I would posit that there is sort of ambivalence about Bryce Harper, despite how productive he's been, an appreciation for Zach Wheeler, an absolute love for Kyle Schwarber, and kind of indifferent about everybody else. Stott was on his way, but then he had a couple of years where he wasn't as productive with the bat. So, and there's kind of an ambivalence about Rob Thompson, who might be too nice a guy to be loved in Philly.
It's an interesting point. All right, so 215-592-9494. We're going to get to the phones. I guess, in a way, this is going to be a therapy session for me where I vent, and then you all say, Broads, relax. Or maybe there's some out there that say, Broads, you're very intelligent, you're very good-looking, you're very smart, and you know everything about baseball. Maybe there's some people out there that feel that.
You just threw the good-looking thing in there, like we were going to let that slide.
Who said that?
Some might say Broads.
Yeah.
It's great because Dallas no longer has
Michael Parsons.
Michael Parsons.
Yeah. We could get into
that as well.
Everything's
going up roses today, man.
All right, let's go to Rob in Overbrook to get things started. What's happening, Rob?
What's up, bro? Hey, calm down, bro. Marcus, how you feeling today?
Good.
I wanted to talk about the Sixers, but real quick about the Phillies, I was telling bro to calm down. You know what? They're not that guy until they are. So when they win something, come and, you know, knock on my door. But otherwise, you know, the ups and downs, I'm not going to let some guys do that to me. I'm sorry. I don't let anybody do that to me. I don't care who they are. So, you know, I'll watch them. I support them. But until they win something, you know, that's when they'll be that guy. If they aren't,
yeah,
they don't
I understand
win,
that. I guess for me is there's only a handful of series each month that, like, moves the needle. And that Mets one happened to be one of those. So I don't feel this knee-jerk reaction on every series, but there are a few. It's like with the NBA, if we're going to go Sixers at some point here. When you play Milwaukee in the regular season, when you play Boston in the regular season.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it?
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Those games mean more than when you play Charlotte on a Tuesday night on the road, you know? So it just feels this happens to fall, this program, after one of the ones that would really move the needle.
And Rob, does the next series after this Braves series move the needle for you? As a matter of fact, I was thinking about trying to go to Milwaukee for that series, at least for one of the games, because I think that series is much more important and indicative of what the postseason may be, because the Brewers might be the best team in the league right now, and the Phillies are going to Milwaukee where they might have to, you know, make hay in a month and a half from now.
Yeah, and that'll tell the story. Now, about the Sixers, you know, I've been a Philadelphia Sixers fan for over 55 years, and this is the worst I've ever seen this franchise as far as, and that's saying a lot, because, you know, usually the 76ers have had some really history of really bad general managers. I mean, you know, going all the way back to trading Chamberlain and all this other nonsense. But, you know, this is the worst I've ever, this is a train wreck. And, you know, they should have got rid of Joel Embiid when they had the opportunity. I've been saying that for years. The guy is not a winner. He doesn't have it. He's like a tin man. He doesn't have a heart. And now we're stuck. And then they go and sign Paul George.
Rob, it sounds as though your despair is centered around the future. Like, they're not only not good, they're almost guaranteed to not be good for the length of these contracts.
Yeah, and so what was the sense of extending these people and bringing them here?
I think they screwed up.
Daryl Morey, in my lifetime, you know, I'm 70 years old, Daryl Morey is probably in the top three worst general managers I've seen in Philadelphia sports history.
It's been bad, Rob. It's been bad, and thank you for the call. I guess, and we'll just do this for one second here. The VJ Edgecombe, the Maxi McCain trio of youth, excitement, hardworking kids. Is there anything that maybe could win some fans over in that light once they start taking the floor? I don't know. I really don't know.
I think sooner than later. I honestly don't know that we're going to see either Paul George
or
Embiid until Christmas, or maybe even later. At that point, the team might have a new personality.
That might be better for the fans.
But I will posit this. Like, as difficult a time as Daryl Morey has had with the James Harden issue, having to get rid of Ben and all that sort of stuff, Sam Hinkie was way worse. Like, he was, like, the draft picks he made and the deals he made and the decisions he made in just 3 years set this team back. And I understand they were rebuilding, but you can't miss that often.
Correct.
With that kind of draft capital. It was abysmal. Just abysmal.
Yeah, you're right.
And, you know, he did a great job of, like, turning, you know, paying for picks, you know, getting veterans and picks in deals, and then sort of clearing salary cap space.
But then you got
the execution
execute.
And the execution of those picks. And I know that he didn't make all the picks. I mean, there was the Brian Colangelo, Brett Brown era of general managing and things like that. But that was utterly catastrophic, and they're still digging out from it. If you are down on Daryl Morey, he's still paying for the mistakes Sam Hinkie made.
And that's why, and just to spin this to the other winter sports team, and then we'll get right back to the Phils, with the Briere thing, I really did enjoy the fact that they stripped it down and they were able to get a lot of these assets, but that's only step one of this thing. You got to then execute with the draft picks and all that, and that's almost more difficult than
but
the strip down.
I would contend the strip down was much more intelligently done.
100%.
Because Travis Konechny's still here. Travis Sanheim's still here. Kutz is still, Sean Couturier is still here, all right? So they didn't – my biggest issue with the whole process, all of the process, is there was no reason to trade Jrue Holiday for Nerlens Noel. That was just absurd. I mean, it just made no sense. If you're going to try to build a team, you have a young, good, two-way point guard who looks to be durable and knows how to win. Well, that's the foundation that you need.
I thought today was supposed to be a day to make me feel better.
Well, it's Rob's fault, not mine. Rob the caller brought it, ripped the scab off that wound.
Let's go to Linda in Philly. What's going on, Linda?
Hey, so, you know, I've been a Phillies fan since the 70s. You know, I go way back. And I was at last night's game. There were almost 42,000 people there. And I just like the Mutts as much as anybody. And it was awful, the first top of the first inning. There was, like, such a bad vibe in the stadium. And then Kyle Schwarber came up and hit Schwarbaum number one, and the whole center of that stadium changed. I've been at the 80 World Series and all these great games, and yesterday's game was one of the best games I ever attended in my life. It was that great.
Yeah, so, no, you could feel it too, because you're right. That first inning, Linda, was eerie. You know, you could tell Aaron Nola walking in guys to score. And it got really awkward. But once Schwarber and then JT, and then you got Kepler who's playing over Nick.
Yeah.
You're right. The energy exploded rather quickly, but it did start out in that awkward vibe.
Yeah. And you're thinking, oh, now here we go again. And, you know, I consoled myself. At least they couldn't bring Jordan Romano in. But, you know, last year's Phillies peaked way early, and then they just kind of were in this downhill slide. This year, they're a little streak here, but they battle back. So I have great hope for them.
Okay.
And I think that guys like Schwarber and Real Muto and Harper, who beat this team, think Bader's a great addition because it gives them that kookiness that they lost when they sent Stubbs down to the minors. I think they were loose. They were having fun. And all the play, you know, Harper taken out of the game. He's still there on the top step, cheering for Schwarber when he hits number four. So they're a team that are connected. And I think they resonate with the fans because they really have the personality of Philly.
Linda, thank you. Thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate it. So there's some optimism. Here's my issue. I wouldn't be surprised, believe it or not, if they got hot offensively and made some serious damage in the playoffs. I also wouldn't be surprised if they lost in the wild card round. And that's what makes me irritated is I don't know which team I get on a day-to-day basis. I either get the team that looks like they're a juggernaut, or I get the team where Trey and Boehm might leak oil on the left side of the infield, and maybe someone's throwing the ball 80 feet over JT's head from the outfield. And, you know, I just don't know what team I'm getting.
There's no guarantees in baseball, man.
No, no. Well, why not?
Because
how do I get one?
That's why it's the greatest game.
Can I get one?
It's not the best sport, but it's the greatest game.
All right, we are live from Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Catch all the Eagles action this season at the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles, Chickies and Pete's. It's Broads, it's Marcus Hayes. We're just getting started, filling in for the afternoon show right here on WIP. Coming up next, did Topper call out our very own Kyle Quinn? You'll hear some audio and your phone calls coming up next. It's Broads, it's Marcus Hayes, it's 94 WIP.
It's the Thuggish Ruggish Ball.
Swung on, hit deep right field, and there's history for Schwarber. It's his fourth home run of the night as Kyle Schwarber becomes the first Philly since Michael Jack Schmidt to hit four homers in a game. It's a three-run home run that gives him nine runs batted in tonight. The 21st player in modern Major League history to hit four homers in a game.
Special moment. Very special moment last night. I wish I could enjoy it, but they got swept by the Mets. Welcome back to the WIP Afternoon Show. It's Broads and Marcus Hayes in for the crew. We are live from Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. There is still time to book your fantasy football party at Chickies and Pete's. Find a location near you at Chickies and Pete's. .com. So 215-592-9494. That's the phone number. What's up, Marcus?
So I just wanted to give a little shout out to Dan Wilson, Buzz Wilson, back in the studio. That song was The Thuggish Ruggish Bone by Outkast, right? Or no, Bone Thugs and Harmony. And it's one of Kyle Schwarber's walk-up songs. So kadoos, as Larry Boa would say, kadoos.
It was not by accident.
What'd he say?
It happened by accident.
Really? No. I said it was not by accident.
Oh, absolutely I thought you not. Said it was by accident.
Absolutely not by accident. That was very intentional.
And by far, his best walk-up song.
How do you feel about...
I would say his most notable as well.
Yeah.
So.
Do you think it would be sicker if you just have the same one every time compared to the mix where you get multiple
I am totally in favor of...
Multiple?
I want the same set. You get one warm-up song as a starter. You get one warm-up song as a reliever. You get one warm-up song. And if you need to break a slump or something...
You can switch it up.
But you have to... Then you can never go back.
Buzz?
No, I agree. I think players who have one singular walk-up song are always more memorable than the guys who have the mix. Like, we associate Harper. He walks up to... Flower by Moby, and like that's the one everyone associates with him. But you only hear it once per game. Sometimes
then it comes to some country song.
Sometimes you hear it twice if he comes up a fifth time in the game. But other than that, you only hear it once. Utley walked up to Cashmere every time. You know, Carlos Ruiz walked up to In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins every time.
I don't think that's accurate.
That Utley,
I believe early in his career he walked up to a song by the Venga Boys.
You're talking about Utley?
Utley, right?
Oh, no. I didn't mean his entire career. I mean when he was using Cashmere for the majority, he wasn't rotating multiple songs.
But that's my point. He identifies most with Cashmere, but I don't think he should have been able to change from Venga Boys. Like, I don't think Bryson Stott 10 years from now should have a different walk-up song. Especially that walk-up song. It's so iconic.
I have less of an issue changing game to game. I want the same song first at bat, second at bat, third at bat, fourth at bat, which Utley did not do. He walked up to Cashmere in the first inning, in the third inning, in the fifth, and so on, where Harper, Schwarber, some of these other guys rotate within the game. I don't think it works. Like, Lindor walks up to My Girl at Citi Field, and I dread it every single time because they all sing along to it, and it usually means hell for the Phillies, but it's every single time he comes up, and it's catchy, and you associate it with him, whereas if he only used it once per game, it wouldn't stick as much.
Yeah, fair point.
I think it's funny. Like, Mariano Rivera maybe had the most, identifiable, associated walk-up song in Enter Sandman.
Yeah.
Huge Christian music fan. Met James Hetfield after they assigned it to him and decided to keep it. So walk-ups, I love the stories behind the walk-up song.
It's a lot of pressure to get it right.
But when you have, like, 27 a season... Then that's too many stories.
Castellanos switches it like once a week.
Well, there's a lot of issues with Nick Castellanos.
I mean, that's too much. Marcus, I agree. Like, you can't be doing it every single day. But I want, how about like one or two switches per season max?
No.
You get one for your career?
I think it should be one per season max.
All right, one per season, and it's the same.
And if you have a good season, you have to keep it.
Who defines if it's a good season?
That's where we come into play at WIP.
We're the rulers of that. I want the same walk-up music every at-bat. No switching in game.
That's right. All right, so we're going to get back to the phone. This is what we're asking people, all right? Because I'm emotionally damaged. That's the way I phrased it, and that's the way I feel. And yesterday was a really awesome moment. There's no sugarcoating it. What Kyle Schwarber did, getting four home runs, that was special. But I am so broken as a Phillies fan that it just didn't move me. And I want to know if yesterday moved you, because it should. It should. It's crazy that it doesn't move me. But what they did in Queens was so detrimental to my sports health that I'm just screwed up. But before we get back to the phones and talk to the people on that, Rob Thompson, after the game, took a shot at our very own Kyle Quinn. This is what he had to say.
Yeah, you know, again, a huge character win. You know, you get down three, and I know, you know, the radio stations were wanting the fans to boo us and all that stuff, but that's all right, you know. But we came back, scored five, and then just chipped away and just kept going, so added on. And so, yeah, really big win.
So here's my thought on the should the Phillies have booed them to respond to the chaos up there in Queens. No, they shouldn't have. Shouldn't have been 45,000 people booing.
Do we have sound of Kyle advocating for this?
Oh, I'm sure we do.
Buzz, we do, maybe, yes.
Okay, do we have it right now on hand?
I do. Let's take a listen.
Sure.
I need them to feel what we just went through for three games. And I don't want to hear the, like, don't give me the crap about they're up four games. They're still leading the division. Shut up. Shut up. That was a disgrace what they just put us through over these last three games. So I want to throw it right back in their face. They need to know when they walk on that field that we, as Philadelphians, do not accept the product that they just put out.
I just think they're going to clap back at us after the game if we boo.
I'm strongly considering going just to boo.
I think you should.
All right, so I
that's nuts.
I feel his pain towards the result against the Mets, but I don't think you have to go to the extreme where 45,000 people are just raining boos when they come home to play the Braves. What I think is right and fair, honestly, I'm not giving them a standing O either. What I would do is just be that weird, awkward, eerie feeling that was in the ballpark because a lot of fans were upset, but we're not going to just boo you to death. I think awkward, uncomfortable vibes was probably the right mood based off of what we saw previously.
It's incredibly remarkable. Two things in that press conference. I watched the press conference last night. I wasn't at the game, but I watched the press conference. Rob brought up that being a character win like three times and was not asked about it, if I'm not mistaken. Like, he kept bringing it up, but nobody was like, is this a big win, character win, momentum, whatever. That I heard. You couldn't really hear the questions in the press conference, so I might be wrong. The other thing is, Rob Thompson never responds to that sort of stuff.
You're right.
Like, you could ask him about the ovation for Trey, but he's not going to come out and say, hey, you know, that was really cool, that ovation for Trey last year, whatever, whatever. That is astonishing that Rob Thompson, it bothered him that much. He thought it was that inappropriate that he not only brought it up, but criticized it and chastised this radio station, which carries the games, the flagship station, for suggesting that sort of thing in that moment. That is just...
Of everything we do here, Kyle Quinn broke him.
It's a reflection, though, in a way, because I feel Nick Sirianni does that. He uses the outside noise, and they bottle it up, and then they try to prove people wrong with it. Is that a Nick Sirianni move, or am I reading too much into that?
No, I just think he was mad.
He was just mad?
That's Canadian anger.
Uh-oh.
It's the politest anger you'll ever see. Yeah,
he raises a fist and goes, damn you, and that's it.
Right. Yeah. Unless you're rooting for the Maple Leafs, then they turn into
darn you
demons.
Well, yeah. You should hear the Canadiens fans cussing French.
Yeah, oh yeah. I'm sure that's a good time.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Jordan in Princeton. What's going on, Jordan?
Good morning, Broads, or afternoon, as it were. I don't even know. I'm
confessing that I feel like I'm in an emotionally abusive relationship with my baseball team.
Okay.
It's like this relationship I can't get out of right now. You know, you go out and they treat you badly in front of other people and embarrass you in front of the Mets. And then the next day, they've got the Bryce Harper mixtape with the four walk-up songs and the Schwarber with the four home runs. And I just don't know if this is a relationship I should be committing to at this point. And this is 40 years of being nothing but a Phillies fan, but the emotional ups and downs that this team is putting me through right now makes me wish that I broke up with my high school girlfriend instead of going to college with her for a year.
Well, Jordan,
I don't know how to correct it.
The thing about an ups and downs relationship with a sports team is that there are ups. I mean, think about, you say you're a lifelong Phillies fan, think about all the downs, the protracted downs. Would you rather have ups and downs, or would you rather have 1994?
Well, I mean, we were left through 10 years of absolutely the worst franchise that I've ever seen from my baseball club, right? I mean, after the, you know, Rollins, Howard, Utley era was done, I mean, you could hear a pin drop in that stadium for a decade. And so now that we're 4 years into what we all thought was going to be a championship run, and they still keep playing with our emotions like this, how can you go to Citi Field and not just get swept, but my goodness, how can you get blanked in the final game of a three-game series? I feel like it is abusive, and I may need some therapy, but I'm really hoping that we can make this work as a long-term marriage, because you don't want to give up on the team.
Hey,
but, you
man.
Know, some flowers and a mixtape is not doing it for me at this point.
40 years is a long-term marriage, pal. That's just, you can't. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to land?
That's the kicker, Jordan. You know? As much pain as we're in, there is no other alternative. We just have to suck it up, and we end up having to take the abusive relationship.
Do the dishes, man.
The discussion, though, and what people, you know, that I know who are true fans at this point, they're getting frustrated with the amount of time they're putting in and not seeing out of it. And I do get that as a fan base. Like, I'm a guy who likes to watch every Phillies game. I don't get to watch every, you know, miss one here and there. But, you know, when you put the time in and you don't get it back, and then you get the things like Harper and the Mets colors, and I know it's not the biggest deal, but these things, they start to needle at you. So again, it might be years of therapy. I'm not breaking up. I'm not breaking this relationship off, but I hope I get it to a point where I'm no longer abused the way I feel this way.
Wow. All right, Jordan, you're the man. Thank you for the call.
And I apologize to all people who are in actual abusive relationships, because we do not mean to trivialize your plight.
Not.
That said, I mean, I just get it such a kick out of the sense of entitlement, not just in Philadelphia, but from a lot of sports fans. It's even worse with Premier League fans or international soccer fans in general.
Nuts. It is
the sense of entitlement. But you know, that's the thing. Like, nobody's been dominant in Major League Baseball in years. It just doesn't happen anymore. So when you talk about championship run, being competitive and getting to the point where you're relevant and you're close is very, very rare. And I just think it should be appreciated, especially with a team you like and a team that's been – I mean, think about how many anti-Philly guys are there on this team? How many guys who are don't at least purport to be like, I'm with you, I feel your pain, Philadelphia? There were a lot of those guys in the Charlie Manuel era.
They won, and it changes perception on things.
Well, I don't think that's the thing. I don't think people connected with that team the way that you'd expect them to connect with that team. It was a party. Like, Cliff Lee wasn't a Philly guy. He didn't care about Philadelphia. Roy Halladay didn't really care about Philadelphia. These guys were mercenaries. They were in to do a job, and they were cold-blooded about it, which is fine. I'm not saying it's good or bad, but I just get a kick out of, like, this entitlement. I'm owed a championship. The fact that he's watching every night means they're relevant, and that's what he's owed. This is not compulsory investment. You are not owed a title because you watch the game.
But that's what a fan is, though. That's the fan side.
I disagree.
Yeah.
I mean, most fans understand. Most sane fans understand that a title is the bonus.
No.
What's expected is to be relevant. It is.
The fans don't want. No, you're right. That relevancy does matter for sure. But then it's like, so it's almost like this. For a while, and I don't want to use the Maple Leafs as an example here, but as a hockey guy, it does seem to maybe mix in here. But, like, for a while, they wanted to be relevant. And then they finally got relevant. But now they can't get over the hump. So it's just one of those things with this Phillies team where there's, like, levels to the expectation. And when you're not competing at all, you need to get to a point of relevancy. But once you're there, you don't just become satisfied with the relevancy. It's just a step in the process of getting to the title. So once you're in the relevancy area, which the Phillies are, and that does get two thumbs up and it should get approved, but you can't just sit there forever and take it. At some point, we got to see that next step. And
what do you
I feel
mean,
we're
what,
in there.
What's your alternative to taking it?
Well, it just must get done.
Well, that's my point. Like, there is no, you have no alternative but to take it. And you can choose to enjoy it, or you can choose to be miserable and angry.
But I don't think a fan is wrong to say we expect to see a championship.
I'm not talking right or wrong. I'm saying you have a choice to make. You can be angry when things aren't going well for you, or you can be grateful that you're relevant and you have a chance. Yeah. That's a choice you make.
I'm somewhere in the middle. Because
no, you're not.
Yeah, no, I am.
No,
I am. Well, no, after this Mets series, I am. But when they won four in a row and they swept Seattle and they beat the first game against the Cincinnati Reds and it looked like they were maybe turning the corner into something I could believe in, I was saying, hey, maybe there's a really golden opportunity here to take it. But then they flopped and folded miserably, and then they proved that they have some inconsistency issues, and then it starts to deflate me again. So I don't think it's nuts as a fan to really go after this with the you got to win us a championship mindset. When you're, because to your point, the reason we feel this way is because they do have a chance. Like, as much as I don't think they have a chance, they do have a chance. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those where they obviously do, but you think they're so flawed that they don't. But they do, or else we wouldn't be this mad. The reason why we get this mad is because they are close-ish. But you got to finish the job. You gotta finish the job. But they are close. But you can't just accept being close. You gotta get the job done, you know? No? You're not.
This is my life. Most teams that win championships shouldn't. They're not the team that was favored. Like, way more than half of the teams that win titles are not the teams that are expected to win titles.
So betting wise.
No, maybe. No. Like well, not even betting wise. Like power rankings. If that carries any weight with you, analytics, all those sorts of, it almost never happens. So my point being, it's relatively random, and so many things are like they'd be a better team right now if Zach Wheeler was on the team. He has a circulation issue that might end his career. You know, those are things you can't control, which is why being relevant is what – I mean, I would argue since he got here in Philadelphia, Zach Wheeler's been their best player.
Sure.
They are playing without their best player.
But there were issues prior to him.
Sure, but again, they're playing without their best player. My point being, they are less likely to do it now than with him. But that's the part of sports that is not only unpredictable, but it sort of negates entitlement.
Well, then can't we say the reason why we praise Dave Dombrowski, the ones that do, for getting Lizardo and building this staff is you set yourself up where if you were to lose somebody of that caliber, you still have a phenomenal staff to go to war with and you still have a serious chance to compete. If that's the case, then we have to understand that, well, that's why he built this team this way. There's so much depth there. They should still be able to win, so the expectation shouldn't change.
No,
if
the expectation.
He did a good job.
You should expect them to be competitive, and expect them to have a chance. But again, if you choose to want to jump off a bridge every time they get swept by the Mets, you're choosing that, and it's not a rational choice because they're still a good team.
Yeah, they are still a good team, but a good team, I need a great team, and a great team wouldn't go to Queens and get swept like that. Let's go to Jason in King of Prussia. What's up, Jason?
Fellas, Marcus, we hung out after the 2008 World Series with the most mutual friend in a basement in South Philly, and you're a great dude. We had a lot of fun that night.
What were you doing, Marcus? How was that night? Want to go into detail?
I don't remember. I remember being somewhere in South Philly. It might have been a basement. I was married and had a baby and was living in Richmond, and I was hanging out with one of my wife's basketball friends.
Oh, okay.
And that's pretty much all I remember.
Yeah, it was all good, clean fun. It was a great night. I mean, what a great! I kissed more men that night than I should have, but all out of pure joy.
Okay, all right.
Listen,
okay.
Well, that was a great walk down Broad Street. But look, you're both off a little bit. As a long tenured season ticket holder for a couple Philadelphia sports, Marcus, it's not an entitlement. The team tells us what to expect. What do you guys expect this year? We want to win a championship. When you don't start winning, act like you're winning a championship, the fans are going to get nasty, get judgmental, get not entitled. We're holding them to the expectation.
No. What they said was we want to win a championship, not we're going to win a championship.
We expect to win a championship.
Well, that's their expectation and your expectation, but it's not a guarantee.
You know, of course it's not a guarantee, but to have that expectation and then to get angry and then to say mean things when that expectation does not look like it is going to be met, and let's also be perfectly honest, this team has been a complete postseason failure the last couple of years. And yes, the magical home run ride was amazing. Amazing. But that was a couple years ago now. So yeah, the fan base is, I think, not entitled, spitefully quick-tempered. Okay, and I think that's totally valid.
Well, you can think that if you like. I mean, I don't. You've got a very good product and a very deep product. They lost their best player, and they're still very good. So you can think that if you like. I just don't. And you're making the choice to be quick tempered,
right? And I am losing my patience. I don't like.
To what end?
It's not like you're going to before he's won anything.
But to what end?
I think it's Bush League.
What to what end? You're not going to not be a Phillies fan. That's my point. I mean, you're in a situation where your team, I think, is doing its best to satisfy you, and they're pretty good in the process. But you know, like our previous caller, Jordan, I think it was, you don't have an alternative. You're going to be a Phillies fan next year.
Yeah, and I just don't like the word entitlement because it is like the team
accurate
that, and I'm reacting to the team expectations. And clearly, when the Phillies stink and the Eagles stink, I think this is a realistic fan base, and I think we are very real that, like, okay, this year's Eagles season is going to be about the tailgating. We're very lucky enough that we can't remember when that was between Andy Reid and the success that this team has had. But I remember in the late '90s. When you went down there to have fun with your boys, and that was it, and that was the expectation. But the Phillies now have set a very high expectation because they are very good,
right?
And the fan base is absolutely around to crush them when they go up to New York and piss all over themselves.
I agree.
Have a great holiday weekend, fellas.
Thank you. You too. No, listen, I do agree with that. It's so, like, you're the foundation of what you're saying, excuse me, I think is definitely legitimate, for sure, that they're in the mix, they're in the conversation, they're right there with these best teams. But once you set that foundation, it just comes back to, I think fans do then deserve to push in and say, like, we gotta get it. We gotta close the door. We can't finish the book off and there not be an ending. You need the ending.
If they fail in the postseason this year, mm-hmm. Rob's probably gone, right?
Wow.
Dave's not.
See, and I'd be bothered. I think it should be the opposite, but you wouldn't bring in a new regime up top and keep top.
But, I mean, John Middleton thinks Dave Dombrowski is a Hall of Fame general manager.
And he probably is, but I just haven't seen it here.
And Rob Thompson's the first-time manager. So that's the blood you will get if they don't succeed in the postseason. But, I mean, I don't think that that's fair. I think this team plays well for him.
I agree. I think Topper's good.
I don't think he was the problem in the three postseason runs. And I'll push back a little bit. I mean, they were not an abject disaster in the second postseason run. They won a series, and then they lost a series. And they lost two games they probably shouldn't have lost. But that doesn't mean that the year was lost. Last year was an abject disappointment. Like, they were that's the best team they've had in the regular season, and they got beat in four games in a mini series. That to me is bad. That's much worse than losing to Arizona. But, you know, again, we're never going to agree about this. The Philadelphia fan base, even when the teams aren't good, is an entitled fan base compared to a lot of other fan bases, because all that matters is championships. So no matter where you are on the scale, no matter where you are sort of on the spectrum, that's the only thing that satisfies Philadelphia. So, which is fine, which is good for me, good for the radio station and good for my paper, right? But again, that's entitlement.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with expecting that. We are live from Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Catch all the Eagles action this season at the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles, Chickies and Pete's. All right, it's Broads, it's Marcus Hayes. We are filling in for the afternoon show. Coming up next, your calls, and we will get a quick check-in from Elliott Shore Parks to talk about the Birds, about Micah Parsons. We can get into the NFC and where everything kind of stands now because there was some massive news that dropped yesterday.
Massive.
It's 94 WIP.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes?
Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.